The seventh chapter, beginning with verse 24, and then we'll read on to chapter 8, verse number 2. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And then Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Everybody say, "No condemnation."
No condemnation.
Breathe a big old sigh of relief. No condemnation. "To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The Apostle Paul was from a city called Tarsus. And close by Tarsus, there was an ancient tribe that had a very odd custom. When someone was found guilty of murder, they would take the body of the victim and they would strap it tightly to the body of the murderer. And the murderer would wear that body while it decayed until the infection from the body that he had, the life he had taken, eventually took his own life. That decaying body would seep into his own healthy body, and eventually that would be his execution. I think probably that's what Paul had in mind when he wrote these words, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And so my subject tonight is getting rid of the dead man. Every one of us tonight, before we're saved, we've been carrying around a dead man. And guess what? That dead man is killing you. It seeps into the very pores of your existence. And that's what the apostle is talking about in the seventh chapter of Romans when he said, "The things I want to do," he said, "I don't do them. And the things I don't want to do, that's the very things that I do. I know what's right. I want to do what's right. But instead I wind up doing what's wrong." Why is that? Because you got a dead man strapped to your back. Amen. You got to get rid of the dead man. Amen. Thank God the Bible tells us how to get rid of the dead man. Amen. I want you to know something tonight. God is life. God is positive. He's not some big killjoy sitting up on a throne somewhere with lightning bolts waiting for you to step out of line so he can fry you. Some people look at God like that. Oh, he's some boogeyman sitting up there just waiting for me to step out of line so he can take care of me. That's not the God we're talking about. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. Hallelujah. Amen. And so God is positive. God is life. As a matter of fact, all life originated in God, and all life is sustained by God. None of us tonight would even have life were it not for Him. Even the ancients had a saying that the Apostle Paul quoted in Athens, the other Athens, the Athens of ancient Greece, when he stood on the hill with Mars Hill, and he's quoted from an ancient poet who said, "In him we live and move and have our being." Amen. So God is the source then of all of our life. As a matter of fact, God never intended that man should die. That was not a part of God's plan. That was never what he ever intended to happen to any human being. We brought that upon ourselves. In the middle of the Garden of Eden, there was a tree called the Tree of Life. Amen. And to eat its leaves, and it's going to come again, isn't it, Brother Hart? In the New Jerusalem, there's going to be a Tree of Life. Hallelujah. In the midst of the garden also was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord said, "Don't eat that one." Amen. How hard is it to keep one law? It's mighty hard for us. Have you ever seen a sign that said, "Wet paint, do not touch"? It takes everything you got not to touch it. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Don't look"? What's the first thing you do? It's you look. We're so good at doing things we're told not to do. And so the Lord said, "Don't eat that tree right there. Leave that fruit alone." And of course that became Satan's focus. And he pointed out that God was being unfair and unjust to keep one tree away from them. Amen. There are a lot of things that we need to stay away from just simply because they're not good for us. It's not that we're evil because we don't want our children to enjoy some things. We just know it's not good for them. So we just try to keep them away from things that are hurtful and harmful. And certainly that was God's intention in the beginning. It was all for our good. And he actually said the words. He said, "If you eat that tree," he said, "you will surely die." Now I understand that death at that point in time was an abstract concept. They didn't really understand death because they'd never seen anything die. It was something they couldn't grasp. Amen. Until, of course, they ate from the tree. And then immediately, the Bible said that they suddenly felt guilty, that crushing load of guilt and shame, and that piercing pain at separation from God and fellowship with the Holy One. And they found themselves in darkness and in fear, hiding from the very presence of the one that they loved and the one that loved them so very much. Amen. And then they found themselves defending their offense before God. Isn't that interesting? Amen. Nobody had to teach them how to do that. It was automatic. And it still is, isn't it? We're great at finding fault and blaming other people. Anybody ever notice that? Did you have to teach your kids to do that? Amen. You know, nobody gets blamed for a lot of stuff. Who did that? Well, nobody. I've never met him yet, but I know he exists because he gets blamed for everything. Amen. My little cousin, when he was a little bitty boy, he cut his mother's flowers down. And she was not happy. And she was pretty sure she knew who did it. So she found him and she said, "Did you cut those flowers?" He said, "No, ma'am." She said, "What'd you do it with?" He said, "The scissors." So we're not good at it. We try to pass on blame. We try to avoid it, but we're not good at it. Amen. And of course, God knows all along. Amen. Now, they never saw death until God took the life of an innocent animal and they watched its blood spill and seep into the thirsty earth. And God literally stripped the skin off of that beast and made garments, and he put it around their loins to wear. And they wore the garment, and they were reminded every time they looked at that garment what their sin had cost, and eventually what was going to come their own way. And so it came into their lives. It was not the will of God, but it's what happened because of sin. And then, of course, there came the day that Cain and Abel were in the field, and Cain became so angry that he picked up some instrument of destruction, struck his brother, and watched as breath flowed out of his body, and he watched as his blood seeped into the earth, his eyes lost their light, and for the first time, a human being drifted into eternity, into death. Never happened before that moment in time. And from that time, how many more have experienced the same fate? Well, Adam lived for a long time, but finally it came. Because the Bible said, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's something that is going to happen, folks. It's a certain thing. Everybody will agree that death is certain, but not everybody wants to believe there's a judgment, but there is. It only makes sense, doesn't it? It's really the only way it could be just. Life would not be just without a judgment. Amen. There's a lot of things that never get made right in life. People get away with a lot of things they ought to pay for. Isn't that right? Amen. And we shake our head and think, that's not right. But there's going to come a day that God's going to set it right. God's going to put everything in order. And he's going to make everything come out the way he intended for it to be. God instituted a law in the universe called the second law of thermodynamics. It just simply means that everything in the universe is decaying or slowing down. It's in a process of wearing out. And we experience that in life. You go and you buy a new car, and you're so excited. Amen. And a few years later, it's got rust on it. It loses its shine. The engine has problems, the transmission's slipping, tires are worn out. What is that? That's the second law of thermodynamics, that's wearing out. Amen. And then you look in the mirror. You know what that is? That's the second law of thermodynamics, because you're wearing out. You didn't think that was going to happen when you were a few years younger. You thought it would always be like this. Amen. But you are subject to that law. Buildings are subject to that law. You look at the ruins over in Rome and in Athens and across the sea, and those ancient societies in Egypt, the pyramids, even the mighty pyramids are wearing down. You look at the majestic mountains, and you know in time they begin to wear away. It's all affected by this law that God set in order, that everything in time is going to erode. Even stars burn out. You ever seen a shooting star? You know what that is? That's the swan song. It died. And it goes out in a blaze of glory, but that star is no more. And so even the stars of the heavens are subject to this law. They say that the sun will burn out. Don't get too afraid. It's going to be a little while. But it may be quicker than they claim. Because I know the Bible said that in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven, the new earth, the Bible said there's not going to be a sun or a moon or stars, because the Lamb will be the light of the city. Hallelujah. And so we have a sun right now, but much as we depend on it, it's not going to be needed in the new world that God is going to create for you and for me. The erosion of the ozone layer, that little thin layer up there, that's what makes people get old, they say. Let's patch that, buddy. Yeah, but it's already too late, I think. But, you know, Adam lived to be 930 years old. His son Seth lived to be 921 years old. Enos lived to be 905. Jared lived 962 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. He was the oldest. Noah lived to be 950. But by the time of the patriarchs, Abraham lived to be 175. By the time of the prophets, Moses lived to be 120. And by the time of David, man lived to be about 70. And though we've had all kinds of technical miracles and medicines and so many things available to us today, do you know the average lifespan of a human being still is 72 for men and 78 for women? After that's in a modernized nation. In other countries that are not developed and don't have access to such things, it's much less than that. So you see, with all of our technology, we haven't advanced nearly to what it was at one time. Amen. You know what I think, and this is opinion, okay? Put this under opinion. I can't prove this, so it's just opinion. But I believe that God made man so perfectly, and the earth and the heavens so perfectly, that it took 930 years for Adam's body to wear down. And by now, with all the pollutions and the stuff we've done to this poor little earth, it's a wonder we're making it to 70. Amen. There used to be a sign, I don't know if it's still there, somewhere up in Colorado. I don't think it's there anymore, because at least I don't think it's truthful. It said, that funny smell, that's fresh air. Well, I don't think there is any fresh air. I read somewhere that there's not. That by now we've managed somehow to pollute the entire planet. Amen. There's some places a lot better than others. Matter of fact, it is better than it used to be. I remember when the 70s, when we lived in Houston and Pasadena. Amen. I mean, you could see the air you were breathing. You watched it before it went in. It was that bad. Amen. And it's not that bad anymore. You can't, at least it's still there, but you can't see it. I guess it's more deadly now. But nonetheless, there was a lot of that. But that's what's happened to our planet. But it's all a part of the plan of God. It's not anything that He's not aware of. Amen. But all of us today are wearing a dead man, unless you've managed to get rid of him. Unless you've managed to get him off of your back, you're carrying a dead man. The Bible says it plainly in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. He said, "And she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Now that's a she, but it could also be a he. Just living in pleasure is dead while they're living, if that's all they're living for. You know, if you just live for pleasure, your pleasure is going to wear out pretty soon. Have you noticed that? That's something, man, first time you did, "Oh, that was so fun, let's do it again." And isn't that what children do? "Do it again, Daddy, do it again." Amen. But after a while, it wears out. Pleasure's gone. Amen. It takes a little more to get high. It takes a little more to get drunk. It takes a little more to satisfy. If you're living for pleasure, it's a short journey. It wears out. It gets boring really fast. And then as you get older, it even gets less. Amen. You know, even your taste buds die. Stuff don't taste as good. You remember how this stuff used to taste? Man, that's the best stuff I ever ate. And you go back and eat it again, it's like, what happened? Well, I don't know that changed. Maybe it was you. Amen. Something happens to your physical body. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so there's something about pleasure. It's an empty pursuit. because it doesn't last very long. And then it is no more. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, verse says, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." There's some beautiful verses in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead," and there it is again, "in trespasses and sins." You see, that's the dead man that people are carrying. Sin is the dead man, because the Bible said sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. It said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It said, "The wages of sin is death." So death is a dead man that everybody's carrying around, and the only way to get a life is to get rid of the dead man. Amen. How do we get rid of the dead man? I'm going to tell you in just a minute. Just hold on. Amen. I'm going to tell you how to get rid of the dead man. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, it said, "In Adam all die." Everybody that's born of Adam is going to die someday, and that's every one of us. Each of us tonight are sons of Adam and Eve. And Brother Holly, when he used to call people brother and sister, that's what he'd say. He said, if I miss him in Jesus, I'll get him in Adam. Amen. So because of that, all of us are really brothers and sisters tonight, literally. Amen. It's very interesting how closely all of us are related. That's why racial prejudice makes no sense. Makes no sense. If there's only two parents that parented this entire race of human beings, then that doesn't make any sense. That's your brother and sister. And skin color and culture and language make no difference in intelligence and spirituality. Amen. Praise God. And in Adam all die. And the scripture said, "He that hath not the Son hath not life." So, in other words, it's saying, without Jesus, you ain't living. And so the Bible's real plain about all of these things. Amen. And life, we say, man, I heard one time about some guys that were, they went to the cemetery. They were grave diggers. And boy, this guy had a request. He said, "Now don't you do me one of those little 6-foot little bitty holes." He said, "Because I'm going to be buried in a red black convertible. You got to dig me a big hole." And he said, "I want you to drive that Cadillac down in there. I want you to set the brake on that thing. I want you to push the pedal to the metal. I want you to turn the radio up as loud as it'll go. I want you to fix my hair like it's flying back in the wind. I want the top down. I want the radio blaring. I want a cigar, a big old cigar in my mouth." He said, "That's the way I want to go." So sure enough, that's what they did. And after the service and everybody left, one grave digger said to the other, he said, "Man, that's living." "Oh?" "No, that's not living." "He's not feeling a thing." Amen. But people get that idea. See the perception that gets in our head? That's why advertising works. You know, you drive by a sign, and it says, "Have it your way." Amen. The next thing you know, you want a hamburger. And there's something about it. There's something in you. And it works. Advertising works. If it didn't, they wouldn't spend billions of dollars a year advertising stuff. Amen. And so we have this concept that life somehow is about stuff and material things. But it's really not. Jesus explained that very well in the book of Luke. And he said this, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness is just having the gimmies. If you want it then in plain language, it's the gimmies. That's what covetousness. Covetousness. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen. And so, and that is so true, isn't it? I have never seen so much stuff for sale right now. I mean, you can't throw a stick or a rock hardly in Athens without a house that's for sale somewhere. Amen. Lots of stuff for sale. It's a sad thing, but our economy's in such a mess that people are losing things all around us. Had a call today from somebody that needed some to try to save their house. I'm sorry, we don't have any. We're trying to buy an air conditioner. Amen. I'm sorry, but you know we're limited in what we can do. Amen. And we try to take care of this body first. This church, and so it's but that's the world we're in. We get calls all the time, amen, from people needing help, but we're so limited in what we have, what we can do, amen. And so it's not about material possessions. That's not where it is, and it's not in personal relationships. There's no human being that can totally fulfill all of your needs. Now you can love somebody and you should, and it's good, and relationships are one of the most precious things in life, but not any one person can fulfill all of your needs. And if you think you can do that, you're deceiving yourself. Amen. It's not a good thing to get too wrapped up just in one person. Amen. And that's your whole world. Because that's not what God intended. Now, in a marriage relationship, yes, that needs to be the most important one, but not the only person in your realm. You need some friends. Amen. And you know, one of the things that happens to marriage, and I don't know why I'm rambling on this, but it makes sense. Let me just say this, and I'll get back to preaching. But what can happen in a marriage relationship is if a person they exist for one individual, and that's all. You only exist for that one person. And that one person is out taking care of you, and they have other relationships because they have to. They're working on a job, and so they mingle with other people. And because of their experiences with other people and other things in life, they grow. And if you don't have any experiences, you're just yourself and that's it. You don't get to grow. And so what happens is you grow apart. And so it's important that all of us have opportunity to grow. Amen. Everybody needs to grow. And so personal relationships can only go so far. How many times have we carried loved ones just as far as we could carry them? We stood there at the cemetery, and that's as far as we could go. Can't go any further than that. And so we can only go so far. But there is somebody that can go further. Hallelujah. There's somebody that can do more. And that somebody is Jesus. Amen. Hey, we all need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. Brother Holly used to say, you can worship yourself, but you can't save yourself. You can be your own God, but you can't be your own Savior. It's like trying to pick yourself up by your shoestrings. Amen. You reach down and grab your shoestrings and pull as hard as you want to, but you can't get very high. Amen. You want to pick yourself up, you reach up and get something higher than you are. And you can pull yourself up that way. Amen. God is higher. Jesus is higher. That's why the prophet said, or the psalmist said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. I need somebody to pick me up. I need somebody that can get me out. I need somebody to get rid of the dead man. Amen. And Jesus is that someone. Amen. John 3:16 said, for God, say it with me, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Jesus came to give life. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Not only does he give you life, but he gives you a better life. He that hath the Son hath life, the Bible said. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So it doesn't matter if we go by the way of the grave. He's the resurrection. If we alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, he's the life and he's the way. Either way, we're going to get out of here and there's going to be life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus is life. He is the only Savior. The Lord said, there is no Savior beside me. I know not any. Just one. He's the only, only Savior. You know why that is? Because he was the only one that was without sin. Amen. All the rest of us, we got a dead man, Brother Hart. Everybody had a dead man but Jesus. Jesus never had a dead man on his back because he never committed a sin. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Because he had no sin, he didn't have a dead man to deal with. But nonetheless, because of that, he had to lay down his perfect life and shed his pure blood so that he could help me get rid of the dead man in my life. Only God can do that for us today. Amen. But there is a way that we can get rid of the dead man. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is a way. Hallelujah. Going back to that book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and you hath he quickened. The word quickened means made alive. He made you alive. Hallelujah. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in past time you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Hallelujah. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. You talk about lifting us up. He lifted us all the way from hell to heaven. Amen. He lifted us from earth to the celestial. Amen. God is a mighty God. Hallelujah. Anybody get lifted here tonight? Anybody remember when you got lifted up? I do. Hallelujah. I came and I was convicted, and I was depressed, and I was discouraged, and I was guilty, and I was full of shame for the things that I had done and the way my life was headed. But Jesus came and he said, here, let me get rid of that dead man. Hallelujah. And he cut the binds that were holding me. And he got rid of that sin. He got rid of that dead man, that my back that was destroying me and literally taking the life out of my physical body and certainly my soul. And God got rid of the dead man. Hallelujah. And he lifted me up. And he put a new life on the inside of me. He put his spirit on the inside. And that's how you get to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus came so that we could have life. He wants you to live. Really live. He wants you to have abundant life. So, the Bible, there was some fellow preaching one time. His name was Peter. And he's quite a miracle himself. You know, I preached about him the other night, that he couldn't even stand in the courtyard. He couldn't even stand up to some little old girl that was accusing him of being a Christian. And here he is, after he gets the Holy Ghost, and he's standing up there. He's literally preaching to that same bunch that just a few days before were saying, crucify him at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. That same bunch. And now here he is, and he's standing boldly preaching. And my, he preaches quite a message. And when he gets to the end of it, he says, and this same Jesus that ye have crucified, God hath made him Lord and Christ. And men, when they heard that, they got scared. They realized they had a dead man on their back. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. And Peter didn't even stutter. He said, I got an answer for you. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's how you get rid of the dead man. I mean, you don't just get rid of the dead man. You get life. You get a new man. You get a new nature. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. When God was preaching, and he said, come to church, and he said, you can get a new life. The guy came, and he said, where's my new wife? He said, that's not what I said. I said a new life. I can't guarantee the one. But God offers new life. Hallelujah. And my, it's a better life than the old one. Amen. You know, somebody said, they said, try Jesus. They said, if you don't like it, the devil will always take you back. And that's true. Amen. But I, for one, started this race. And I just know one thing. This is better. And I'm not just saying that because I hadn't tried the other, because I did. And it was headed nowhere fast. Amen. But I got a new life. Hallelujah. And I like it. Praise the Lord. I've got a Savior that reached down and forgave me and gave me a brand new life. And because of that, I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. Praise the Lord. So Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he answered his question. He said, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's the who. Now let me tell you the how. Amen. He recorded it here in that same context when he said this. He said, there is therefore now. Amen. When you see the therefore, you ask, what's it there for? And it always ties it to the verses that are before. And it explains what he's talking about. How to get rid of the dead man. And this is how. He goes and he tells us this. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. I love that. No condemnation. No condemnation. You can be convicted. There's a difference in condemnation and conviction. Amen. Conviction, the purpose of conviction from God is to draw us to Him. Condemnation just simply means a sentence has been passed and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. But God calls us to Him so He can do something about the dead man. So He can get rid of the dead man. Praise God. So he draws us to him. Amen. And there's no condemnation. Listen, to them that are in Christ. Everybody say in Christ Jesus. Now how do you get in Christ Jesus? The Bible says you are baptized into him. You are baptized in the Spirit and you are baptized in water. You are baptized into Christ. And the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. That's how you get rid of the dead man. Amen. You get rid of the dead man, you get in Christ. Praise God. Somebody said, what are you into? I'm into Jesus Christ. That's what I'm into. Amen. And the good thing is, he's into me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so he said, to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. You still have your own will, and you have to make a decision every day that you get up who you're going to follow. If you follow the flesh, you're going to live in condemnation. If you follow Jesus Christ, you're going to walk in liberty. Every day we have to make that decision. You know, why is it that human beings keep, we know that we're miserable, so why live in misery? When you can change that. Praise God. You ever been around anybody that was miserable? Amen. Well, why? Why not just go ahead and get happy? I read a book some years ago. It was really good. I recommend it. The title of the book is Happiness is a Choice. You are as happy as you choose to be. Shake your head like this right here. Yeah, Brother Grissom, that's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. You're as happy as you want to be tonight. Amen. So if you're miserable, don't blame anybody but yourself. Your circumstances do not dictate your happiness. There are other people that are in the same circumstances you're in, and they're happy. Praise God. And so you choose that. It's as simple as who you follow. You follow the flesh, you're going to be miserable because you'll never satisfy the flesh. Ever. You can't drink enough. You can't smoke enough. You can't poke enough. You can't snort enough. You can't do anything enough to satisfy your flesh. You just can't. No matter how much you do, it wants more. It wants more. We call those things addictions. That's the dead man on your back. Amen. But if you don't follow the flesh, but you walk after the Spirit, it leads you in liberty. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And so that's how you get rid of the dead man. Get in Jesus Christ. Walk after the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he will lead you not into sin and death, but he'll lead you into life and liberty. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight for your time and your attention. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good. Praise the Lord. And his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a dead man you need to get rid of tonight? Praise God. He still delivers from addictions and from habits. Amen. We can still shed those things. Praise God. We can still shed those things. Amen. God still has liberty for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I remember a man giving a testimony of a certain habit that he struggled with. And he had the Holy Ghost, but he still struggled with this habit. And he didn't know why. So he told the Lord, he said, God, you know, you got rid of so much stuff. when I came to you? Why do I still struggle with this? And the Lord said, well, that is not the problem. He said, that's the symptom of the problem. He said, when you deal with a problem, I'll take care of the symptom. And he got to looking in his heart and he found out that there were some deeper issues. There was some unforgiveness. There was some bitterness. There were some other things. And when he dealt with those things, then that other habit just went away. So sometimes we get hung up looking at one thing when that's not really the problem. That's the symptom of the problem. But if we'll dig down deep and get rid of the problem, then God will take care of the symptoms. Amen. That's getting rid of the dead man. Getting down inside here. Amen. Crawling under the microscope and said, here I am, Lord. I'm not leaving here until everything's right. Until we get it right. Because I want to get rid of the dead man. I want to get rid of the dead man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God there's liberty in Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't we just come tonight to the front of this building and lift our hands and our hearts and our words and our praise and our prayers to the Lord. Jesus, we come here tonight to give you our gratitude and to give you everything that we are, both the good and the bad. I want to give you the right things in my life, but I sure do need your help with the wrong things in my life. It's not my good attitude that causes me problems. It's when I have a bad attitude. It's not the folks that I've forgiven that give me a problem. It's the ones I haven't forgiven. So, Lord, I come to offer to you tonight all that I am. Praise God. Help me to get rid of this dead man. Praise. Help me to get rid of these things tonight that hinder. Because I do want to walk in liberty. I want to live my life as a light. I want to live it as a witness to the salvation, the grace, and the goodness of the God that I serve. Help me to get rid of this dead man tonight. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, you're the center of my
life. Yes, Lord, I come and I give everything here tonight. I give it all, Jesus.
All that's good,
I give it all,
perfect,
Jesus.
Perfect comes from you. You're the heart.
Deliver me from
of my contentment,
the body of this
death.
Hallelujah. Deliver me from the body,
Jesus,
of this death.
You're the center,
hallelujah,
of my joy.
Take it far from me. Cleanse me.
Jesus,
purify me.
Of my
help me and
joy.
Make me